Thank you for this exciting workshop. I'm very glad to be back. So let's start. A large part of this work is done by my pretty brilliant student Sung Cheng Liu, and we posted two papers, these two, and then we are collaborating with Tim Shea, all three of us, on the part about topological order. At the same time, we started a separate project on calculating entanglement using quantum Monte Carlo, and this is with a group of Professor Ying Zhe from National Taiwan and his student Kai Shin and his past collaborator Jiamin Chung. These are my collaborators, and they all did amazing work. And so, right, so let's start. So let's start from here. So does quantum mechanics matter at finite temperature? So this may sound like a very rhetorical question. Everything is quantum mechanical. Everything that you see, yourself. So what does it even mean? We are at finite temperature right now. So hopefully over the course of this talk, this question will make more sense as we go on. What do I really mean by that? So let's, for example, so maybe more precise motivation is how to distinguish quantum from classical phase transitions. So let's consider an example. Here, Z means poly Z matrix, X means poly X. This is a shorthand notation. So consider this transfer serializing model on the square lattice. We all know this is a phase diagram. And this point, this blue point, hopefully everyone agree that there is nothing quantum about it. This is a classicalizing model. So I define that as classical, the usual, if there's no H term. Okay, so then on the other hand, this point is clearly quantum phase transition because we are zero temperature, and in fact the universality class is 3D-izing because the thermal direction gives you one extra direction at zero temperature because beta is infinity. So what happens in between, this whole line remains 2D-izing universality. So this whole line has the same universality as this classical point. So it's reasonable to say that this all of this finite temperature physics, universal physics, is described by classical mechanics, classical field theory. So in this sense, quantum mechanics does not matter in this example. So that leads us to ask the question, if it doesn't matter, perhaps it should have some consequence for quantum entanglement at finite temperature close to this transition. So let's try to at least pose a question there based on this intuition. So if I'm at zero temperature and look at the entanglement entropy for this ground state, which is a pure state at zero temperature because beta is infinity and there is a unique ground state, so then entanglement entropy has this famous area law, but there is a subleading constant which is universal. It depends on the shape, but it's shape dependent universal number. For a given conformal field theory, it's just one number. Doesn't depend on how you lattice regularize and so on. And this is non-zero. So if you go across the transition at zero temperature, it will be zero here in the two gap phases. But at the transition, it tells you that the CFT is long-range entangled. So this may remind you of topological entanglement entropy for a gap phase, but this is not a gap phase. This is a critical point. But the overall scaling is similar. In that case, in topological order, this is not shape-dependent. Here it is shape-dependent. But apart from that, it captures the fact that the you cannot describe ground state by local patching. So if I give you reduced asymmetrics of small regions, you will not be able to patch up to get full wave function because of this subleading term. So one very sharp question is, if I now go at this finite temperature CFT, which is a 2D CFT, You can think of it like a 2 plus 0 dimensional CFT because the thermal direction is not giving the extra dimension. Is there some universal quantum entanglement at that transition? It has infinite divergent correlation length, so there are a lot of long-range correlations, but that does not necessarily mean there is a quantum entanglement. So at least that's one question we will want to answer. So is there analog of this subleading gamma at this finite temperature critical point? And if the gamma was non-zero, I think it will be not wrong to call that a finite temperature quantum phase transition. Because there is some non-local long-distance entanglement. Okay, so that was the first motivation. Second motivation is a somewhat related motivation, but it's more about phases of matter, not phase transition, which is topological order at finite temperature. Does it exist? Or if it exists, how to diagnose it, and so on. So let's start from a very specific example. So let's consider a 3D toric cone. So as you know, there is a star term and there is a Plunkett term. And there are two kind of excitations, point-like excitations, which are these charges, and then there are these magnetic loops. And point-like excitations basically don't cost much energy, order one energy, but the loops cost a lot of energy, order L. And there is a braiding between loops and the charges, pi statistic. So when a charge goes around a loop, it picks up a minus one sign. So that's at least basics of the model. Now, what is a phase diagram? Phase diagram looks like this. So lambda A, just to remind you, is the star term. Lambda B is the Plunkett term. So there is a phase transition, thermodynamical phase transition at some TC, which is order lambda B. So there are two phases of matter at finite temperature. This is low temperature phase, which is a deconfined phase of Z2 gauge theory. And then there is a high temperature phase, which is basically a trivial phase. So nothing happens at this temperature order lambda A, nothing happens. But there's some scale in the model which exists. But something happens at temperature order lambda B. So you can ask, is there some long-range entanglement in this low temperature phase? At least there are two phases, so it's a valid question. There was a topological order at zero temperature, and there is no topological order at clearly at infinite temperature, but is there something between? So the one thing which people did was to study, calculated a Vonnegut entropy for the Gibbs state, take Gibbs state e to minus beta h, and that's the state I will be working throughout my talk, e to the power minus beta h, and look at the subleading constant in the Vonnegut entropy as a function of temperature. So at zero temperature, there is a topological entanglement entropy, log 2. And what they found was it remains half log 2 up till temperature lambda B, up till TC. This is not lambda B, but lambda B times an order one number, which is TC. And in thermodynamic limit. But there's another crossover scale, which is lambda A divided by log of square root L. So this scale vanishes in thermodynamic limit. If you take L to infinity, so this moves here. So if you take thermodynamic limit, there's a half log 2 contribution. You can call it topological contribution, but it's to Vonnegut entropy. And we know Vonnegut entropy is sensitive to classical correlation, so it's not obvious this tells you anything about quantum entanglement.
Isn't the half log 2 just coming from the classical gauge theory?
Yes.
Yep.
Quantum. Yeah. So I wouldn't call it quantum, but that's why.
So, yes, actually, I'm kind of saying, well, that was a comment. Mine is a question. So could you explain qualitatively where log 2 and half log 2 comes from?
Because you have if zero temperature, it's roughly like two kind of constraints, charges and the and the lines. At finite temperature, charges, there's a finite density of charges, so that constraint is gone. But the loops have tension, so they have their constraint survives up till TC. So that's.
And if you made lambda A to be equal to lambda B,
that doesn't matter. I mean, I'm saying in thermodynamic limit, lambda A over log of square root L goes to zero. So then.
Yeah. Well, so I guess let me clarify. So I said if you take lambda A, the crosses to have the same coefficient as the Plunkett, then the energy for the magnetic monopole excitation is the same as spiral.
There are no magnetic monopoles there. It's a Z2 gauge theory. So they are lines. Lines okay. cost energy lambda b times L, as I write here.
Oh, I see. So in light,
one is lambda. There is no symmetry between. It's not like.
It's not like a 2D case.
No. That's only in even dimensions. So 2, 4, and so on is a EM duality, but here there isn't. This is 3D. Okay. So just to maybe elaborate this one bit more, even if you say, okay, this half log 2, okay, I don't care about it, some subleading thing in classical correlation, but at least going back to the question about quantum entanglement, do we expect it or not? So at zero temperature, you have 8 ground states because of this anti-commutation between a surface operator and a line operator. Basically, one corresponds to the magnetic field, other corresponding to the electric field. And so you can ask what happens. So these operators take definite expectation value in the ground state. So you can ask whether their expectation value of these operators, which are crucial to topological order, does it take a definite value at finite temperature? So let's take, for example, some kind of membrane operator whose expectation value is, let's say, plus or minus in the ground state. Now you heat the system. But what can happen, because at finite temperature there is finite density of charges, you can create these charges out of the vacuum by basically costing nothing because they are order one energy, so they're always excited. And these things will now move around and create this extra loop which will change the sign of this operator. So there is this fluctuation at finite temperature of this expectation value membrane operators, which so there's no quantum coherence associated with these things because of this minus one sign. And the probability of creating these excitations is very large. It's proportional to volume times e to the power minus beta times charge gap. So this seems to suggest that there's no entanglement left because of this finite density of charges, which destroy the expectation value of membrane being taking some definite value. So, and this was also argued long ago by Banny Yoshida that these kind of processes destroy quantum memory in 3D toric code at finite t. So it's a very useful classical computer at finite temperature up till TC. So you can build a topological classical computer if you are interested in that using this. So there is no use for quantum computing. So at least it suggests perhaps there's no entanglement, but we didn't calculate entanglement here. This is just like a just to motivate the question about entanglement. So,
I wonder, just to make it easier for people to follow, maybe it would be useful to just say for the model you wrote down, what is the membrane operator?
It's the product of the sigma z's on this. So let me go back. So if you, sorry, this was the membrane operator, for example. So if you take product of all x's across the whole thing, that's like a membrane operator. And this is like the string operator. So these were the operators.
So if lambda A and lambda E are disorder, is it possible to suppress the thermal fluctuation of the string?
Can you please repeat?
I mean, if the lambda A and lambda B, the coefficient of the stabilizer are disorder, is it possible to suppress the fluctuation of the string?
Yeah, so we will do that later. So we'll take various limits to suppress things. So I will come to that. That will be part of the talk. So we can take.
You say dependent or tuning disorder means the lambda A and the lambda B have different coefficient for different stabilizer. So fluctuating of the string actually cost a different energy for different quasi prime for different location.
You're studying some disordered Hamiltonian.
Yes. So it's still a stabilizer, but.
You can do that. I want to keep translation invariance in my talk, but I will still take some limits later on. So, but at least these kind of, so overall I'm trying to say there are these heuristic arguments which you can make, which are, first of all, only valid for stabilizer models. If I give you some general Hamiltonian, you wouldn't be able to identify this membrane operator or string operators. So the goal here is to, given some general Hamiltonian, which doesn't have to be stabilizer model, can you understand the entanglement, long distance entanglement, which may or may not character, whose answer may determine whether there is a long-range entanglement or not. So that's the goal. Basically, something like analog of topological entanglement entropy to finite temperature. So we are obviously interested in a finite temperature state. So we want to understand how to characterize quantum correlations. So for a pure state, a von Neumann entropy is a very useful thing because it captures, it has all the good properties of being a good measure of entanglement. So this you all know. But if I now take a mixed state, von Neumann entropy is an awful measure of entanglement because even for a purely classical system, take some classical Isaac model like here, von Neumann entropy is proportional to thermal entropy, so it's large, it's volume law, but nothing quantum about it. And clearly it is singular also, even in the classical model. So singularities of von Neumann entropy do not tell you anything about anything, let's say, at finite temperature.
So one can define the, so for instance, for Neumann entropy, if you had a heat bath, if you start from a system plus a bath, you integrate out the bath, you could trivially get the so-called thermal for Neumann entropy,
right,
with scale like minus beta H.
Right.
So what's wrong with that picture? You're saying that, well,
I'm not following your question. Sorry, you went too fast. What is your initial state, pure state, or a mixed state?
Right. So, well, I want to distinguish that because I could always construct a mixed state starting from a system plus a bath. So you
write
out the bath and then say, oh, that's my
mixed
state.
I'm interested in bipartite correlations in some state, which could be pure or mixed. So if it's if the full state is pure, then I'm interested in what is the entanglement between region A and region B. So clearly, then von Neumann entropy is a fine measure. Reduced density matrix for region A is, of course, mixed. You're asking, but that's capturing the entanglement between A and B. Mm-hmm. But if the full system was in a mixed state, A union B, then the von Neumann entropy for the reduced density matrix corresponding to region A does not tell you about entanglement between A and B. That's all I'm saying. Because think in this way. Suppose it was a mixed state, and then you can purify to make it a pure state, let's say. So the what's happening is now the reason it is a mixed state to begin with because there is some entanglement between A and C. So looking at the von Neumann entropy between A and B does not capture the actual entanglement because there is this extra stuff going on. So the zero order question is when do you call a mixed state even unentangled? Ultimately, we want to go to universal entanglement of mixed states. So if we don't even know this answer to this question, we really can't make progress. For pure state, we know the answer if it's a product state. So entanglement, I always here mean bipartite entanglement. So I always divide a system into two parts. For pure state, this is the answer. For mixed state, what is it? So this is not maybe hard to guess. The answer is that if you can... if you can think of a mixed state as an ensemble of essentially product-like pure states, product pure states, then you can prepare that state without any kind of a quantum communication between two parties, A and B, so then it should be separable. So if a mixed state can be written in this form where P's are positive, so these are all clearly, this. Let's for convenience assume that this is a rho IA tensor rho IB is a overall a pure state. You don't have to, but you can always think in that way here. So then, so it can be thought of as a, if rho is a is an ensemble of product-like states, then clearly there is no entanglement. You can prepare such state without, you can prepare if there are parties A and B, party A can do all kind of local operations, maybe they can be even quantum, but within region A, party B can do all the stuff within their region B, but party A and party B never have to exchange any kind of qubits. So you can prepare such states. So that's why it's an unentangled state.
A question, Tariq. So the definition is that top line, but this unentangled...
Yeah, there's
the pure space is not a part of the definition. It's something.
It's not, but you can form. You can always do some work to get there.
Tariq,
To get from this to this.
Well, I mean, you can't. I mean, if you just have row A, you know, times row B, and they're not pure states, you cannot make it pure states. You're just
but
saying you can simulate it using.
Yeah, you can do that. So that's
no, but you can further decompose a mixed state. You
exactly.
Mixed state and an ensemble of pure states, and then you put out the sum, and you have just one big sum, right?
Exactly. Over that mixed state. So there's a double sum, and then it's fine. Anyway, so. So the question is, how do you, if I give you some state, let's say some thermal state of some model, how do you tell it is separable? Because the basis in which you may be easy to write down, maybe some eigenbasis, may not be the right basis to tell. Because as long as this decomposition exists for some choice of basis in region A and B, it is unentangled. But how do you know? I mean, that you can do such a transformation. So, in general, this question is very hard, and it remains one of the most interesting and open problem in quantum information. But what is known is a necessary condition for being unentangled. So, a necessary and sufficient condition is known only for two qubits, but we are generally not interested in only two qubits. We are interested in thermodynamic limit and so on. So what is that necessary condition for something being an entangled?
It's also for a qubit Q-trip pair. It's necessary and sufficient.
Okay. Yeah, I think for few qubits, let's say two ones, maybe up to three, you can tell that. Yes. What is that condition? There exist few different necessary conditions, but let me pick the one which is useful for me. So the idea is take the density matrix, expand it in some basis. Final thing will be independent of basis, but then the final thing which I will mention. So and then do what is called a partial transpose. So interchange B and B prime. So I'm doing partial transpose over region B. Think of, like, transpose interchanges indices. So that's what I'm doing, but this is a partial transpose because I first did a written as a bipartite state and only doing transpose in region B. So if rho is unentangled, then it turns out that this partial transposed matrix has all eigenvalues which are positive. So in general, partial transpose is not a density matrix. It's a Hermitian matrix, but it can have negative eigenvalues. But if all the eigenvalues are positive, so that it's a valid density matrix, if rho is separable, then rho transpose B is a density matrix. Other way around is not true. So if this was a density matrix, that does not imply that it's a separable state, because that would be the necessary and sufficient condition. This is just the necessary condition. So this may always make people feel uncomfortable. It's some funny thing I'm doing. It's like, okay, partial transpose, and then you go to sleep. But hold on, there'll be more later stuff, maybe more actual physics using this. So let's carry on. We'll use this to do things. So to know how much it is not a, how much the, how far you are from being a positive eigenvalues, people use this, define this kind of a measure, take the one norm of the partial transpose. So what is one norm? Calculate all the eigenvalues, take the absolute magnitude of eigenvalues, and sum that, do a sum. So sum over modulus of eigenvalues is one norm of a matrix. So is if lambda I have the eigenvalues, take the modulus and sum. If all the eigenvalues were positive, then this is the same as sum over all lambda I. If all lambdas are positive, then this is a trace of rho transpose. But trace of rho transpose is same as trace of rho. So then in that case, this vanishes. So that's the idea. So if the state is separable, this is zero. And it has nice properties like it being an entanglement monotone, and it has a physical meaning. It upper bounds the distillation rate, so rate of conversion of a state to Bell pairs. There's upper bound on that, which is given by this.
Is there a question?
Yes.
So apart from maybe like infinite temperature state where rho is just one, I guess, is there an example you can provide, a specific example where actually it is separable? Just some physical example where you have a many-body system and that's actually separable per your definition.
Yeah. So the so here's a nice example. So take a take the following mixed state. With probability p, you prepare a EPR pair, up down minus down up, and with probability 1 minus p, you prepare a product state, up up. That's a mixed state ensemble.
So this is a property of a state or a Hamiltonian. You can. So
this is the property of a first state.
Yeah.
I've not mentioned Hamiltonian so far.
So there's no temperature, nothing.
You can. I will work with e to minus beta at specific state, but you were asking example, right?
Yeah.
So the example is, so if you take probability p, EPR pair, and probability 1 minus p, product state, up, up. Interesting result is that you might have thought as long as there is some component of the EPR pair state, there will be entanglement in the system, but that's not true. There is a phase transition at p equal to 1/3. So as a function of p, this is unentangled, and this is entangled. And p equal to, let's say, p equal to 1 is when you have only this state, and p equal to 0 is when you have EPR pair. So that's somewhat surprising result, which is maybe not easy to actually guess.
But should I think about it, maybe if you do have a quantum system, and I just heat it up, it goes more classical, and should become, in a sense, less than, is this right?
Yeah.
And when it's infinite, temperature is just 1.
So yes, obviously this is 0.
That's pretty much the
thing. Right. So it happens when you have few qubit system, like 2-qubit system, even moving away from infinite temperature.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, entanglement remains exactly 0.
Okay, fine.
So that's surprising, because you would have thought as you move away from infinite temperature, there will be some entanglement comes
back.
By this definition, is
negativity
it? By this negativity definition?
Because it's a 2-qubit system, negativity is sufficient and necessary also. So both. So that's why you don't. You can just calculate negativity for a 4×4 matrix. It's very easy to do that calculation. I should turn on the light.
But
turn off the light, please.
Fine.
I think.
It's fine.
Okay.
But I think one should say that in the vicinity of the maximally mixed state in any dimension, there is always a separable ball, right? There's always a finite size region of state.
Right.
Not according to this definition, according to the original definition, there's always a finite size ball around the maximally mixed state of separable states. It gets smaller as a dimension gets bigger.
Right, but it can go to. The question is whether in thermodynamic limit it survives or not. So that's a separate. So the. I think we're going really slow. So, so one of the most interesting results is this work by Rajiv Singh and collaborators, where they show that for a Gibbs state, negativity is area law. So that's super nice. It already tells you that all the volume law part, which was coming from the von Neumann entropy, that was all classical. That was our intuition. So this gives you a very good head start, right? You have a measure of entanglement, which is even for a mix, even for a thermal state, it's area law. So it gets the right physics to begin with, at least at the zeroth order. There's no volume law component here, unlike a pure state at finite energy density. So if you take some state which satisfies Argent's thermalization, entanglement is of course volume law because there is a lot of entanglement. Like the same thing, if all the entanglement was between A and B at finite energy density, then you have volume law entanglement. Now if you couple to a heat bath, what happens is that region A starts entangling with this heat bath, so it loses the entanglement between A and B and it becomes area law. So that's when we think about how to reconcile this with ETH. Or even, what can you get some insight on ETH from this? And that's one way to think about. So, So now let's come back to the original question. Does quantum mechanics matter at finite T? For example, you may have some, I don't know, some. These are nice pictures I wanted to put. we always say things are entangled. I mean, people get a lot of funding saying that, but they never tell me what they mean often. Like they say strange metal is entangled and so on. But is there a measure of it which I can just calculate on my computer? So that's what I'm interested in. All right. So let's study negativity in the Gibbs state of several models, which will lead us to the questions we originally posed. So I start from a simple model, which is basically take the Ising model within Gaussian approximation. This already turns out to be extremely helpful exercise. So there is some momentum, there is some conjugate variable phi, just doing Gaussian theory. But I choose the mass to be singular as a function of this parameter g. So I can think of m squared as some g minus gc. So it's basically, doing a phi-4 theory within across the phase transition within Gaussian approximation. So the mass is singular. So in the paramagnet phase, it looks like this. And in the ferromagnet phase, you have two minimas. So this is the phase diagram of this model. So there's a ferromagnet phase and a paramagnet phase. So there's a finite temperature transition. All the exponents are mean field. But there's a divergent correlation length.
What is G here?
Just some parameter. You can also work with temperature if you want to, like, T minus TC, if you want to go this way. But if you go this way, then it is G minus TC. So first, let's just calculate the coefficient of the area law of negativity. So negativity has several parts, area law and maybe subleading terms. So coefficient of area law across the transition is singular. That may look bad. Initially, we said, okay, this is...
So what do you calculate? You discretize the model? Or?
So we discretize the model, and we calculate the negativity between between two... let's take a straight cut between region A and B. Divide a torus into two cylinders. Mm-hmm. So the coefficient of negativity turns out to be singular. Yes?
All right, when you said just Gaussian theory, does that mean something different? Then we're strange, or does it mean that in the condensed phase you add this quartic term to it?
So the very thing about that is that if you're because in the Ising model both phases are gapped, a Gaussian approximation is very good approximation away from the critical point. At the critical point, you just there's no mass, so it just looks like a free theory. I'm not saying just like the usual way of thinking about mean field theory, right? You have when in the paramagnet phase, you have a mass gap, so the phi-4 term doesn't really matter. Now, when you go to the ferromagnet phase, you have two minima at the mean field level, and you expand around these minima. So that's what I'm doing. Okay. So it's just solving Ising model within, it's like a Gaussian fixed point of the RG, if you want. But
Let's m squared change sign.
Yeah, but by m squared, I really mean here this mass, the physical mass, not the... I could have written in a different way, but it doesn't matter. So originally our promise perhaps was the negativity will be singular only it will be sensitive only to quantum correlations, and this is clearly a very simple phase transition where we don't expect anything really quantum. It can be understood very, very simply within just classical mean field theory. So what's going on in the same? So it's not d plus one dimensional system; it's d dimensional at finite temperature. All the exponents are that of the d dimensional system. D is the space dimension. This is the result. So let's just keep moving.
This kink is produced by your mass formula, right? So if I knew this curve to the right, I could just immediately tell you what the curve would allow. Because it's really just a function of the math.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm putting something singular in the Hamiltonian. It's hard to imagine something will not be singular in the negativity. So that's what happened.
So what is the salient point here that you could use the negativity?
The point is coming in a minute. Just let me.
just to be clear, I mean, the actual, if I just take that Gaussian calculation, there's only one calculation for one side of this curve. The other is just rescaling the curve.
Basically.
You didn't do anything more than that. You didn't start with a 5-4 theory and decouple it and do...
Right, but you can ask what is the scaling at the critical point, right? Yeah, that's one question you can ask. Right at a critical point, what is the scaling? Is there some subleading term? So that's what we will come to. That argument doesn't tell me whether there is a subleading term here or not.
Yeah. What actually was the dimension here?
This was two space dimensions.
And time.
Yeah, but you can work in three also. It doesn't change.
Okay.
So there's a bit of a kind of a tension here. Quantum mechanics is not important to understand the state transition universality, but it's what is a measure of quantum entanglement, negativity, is still singular across phase transition for a very obvious reason. As you mentioned, it has to be just the way things are set up. So is there maybe a refinement of the what we want to understand? So the right thing to do is to not look at the area law coefficient, because area law coefficient picks up all the singularity from will pick up singularity of local operators close to the entangling boundary, and it's not universal. We are interested in the subleading term. As I wrote down L minus gamma initially, I'm interested in what is the value of gamma at a critical point, because that's the long distance entanglement. Short distance entanglement will always see singularity, so it's not very useful quantity to look at. Like in the area law coefficient is not universal anyway, so yes.
Sorry, in the actual theory, the original 5-4 theory, is it clear that the entanglement will actually be singular across the transition?
Because this we'll come to it in a minute. So it's all, we'll do the actual thing with quantum Monte Carlo and so on. But but it turns out that this exercise, which may seem like the simplest thing to do and maybe it looks trivial, but actually it gets everything essentially correct. So that's the point. So let me, I think.
May I ask you just very quickly to go to the last plot? So if you did the same stuff, but going vertically as a function of temperature.
It will be the same thing.
It should be the same thing. So in that sense, your system doesn't really know if you're tuning a G or where you're going through a classical.
I mean, everything is classical, whether you go this way or this way. It doesn't matter. I mean, phase transition is classical, so you can go at any angle.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right. So in that sense, you know, how does this quantum entanglement come in the first place?
This is a quantum entanglement. I don't know what you mean comes in the first place. You calculate it, it's there. So.
Well, that's a black box answer. But I'm saying, if you're at finite temperature and you look at the classical universality class of the Ising model, you can ask, well, a computed A quantity, you call it negativity of the energy,
right,
and you find that it has a kick. Should I even call it a quantum property? Maybe
it is quantum. Negativity is, if it were a classical state, it will be zero. Negativity is zero for a classical state. So it only gets correlation. Negativity throws away all the classical correlations, but also throws away some quantum correlation, but whatever is left is only quantum. So this is a quantum phenomenon, whatever you're saying. It has nothing classical about it. So the question is there some subleading quantum correlation, which is long distance property of the quantum correlation? That's what we are interested in. And our expectation is that since the system can be described by classical statistical mechanics, then perhaps this term doesn't exist. So that's what we want to do. And the way to extract this subleading term is the same idea as we calculate topological entanglement entropy. We cancel out all the short distance physics and do some subtraction scheme similar to Kitaev-Preskill's scheme for ground states. This is a different system, but idea is similar. So this is what we did. We calculated a tripartite negativity, this SA plus SB plus SC and so on, across the critical point. And this is how it looks like for different system sizes. So this is starts from, let's say, 30, then 40 and 50. Basically, it becomes very small very quickly. You can't even tell the difference from machine error pretty much at some point. You can do a scaling. It decays exponentially with system size. So the subleading term in the entanglement decays to zero exponentially fast. And this is extremely interesting because there's a divergent correlation length in the system. Actual physical correlation length diverges, but K is a quantity which decays exponentially, even at a critical point. I don't know any such quantity in field theory. This is the only quantity I know. Take any finite temperature critical point that you have ever seen in your life. Give me a correlation function which decays exponentially at a critical point. This is the only one I know.
Are you saying you can make a linear fit on the blue dots?
So I will. We'll do better job with. So the what? you can do a linear fit,
but not on the blue dots, right?
I mean, I will do a better job with. So the thing is, when you're doing ABC subtraction, it's hard to scale things. But if you do a straight cut, which I will do in a minute, it will look much clearer.
Okay.
You will see a perfect data collapse. Okay. In fact. Yes.
So why is it that the subleading term is
add to the d minus 3? Why is there no add to the d minus 2? Like you said that the leading term is add to d minus 1, so it's an area low. And the subleading term
like this one? So I think this is the local part. Subleading term is this thing which I've not even written here. You can ask why the local part d minus 1, d minus 3, and so on.
Okay.
That you can ask. And the answer for that is because negativity of region A is same as negativity of region A bar. There's a symmetry from the definition, so you have to work it out. And it's very similar to entanglement entropy for a pure state. So that's a nice property, which I don't think people observed before, but you can use that to, because then you can, this is a local function. So f kappa is some curvature, so f of kappa is f of minus kappa, from there it comes. It's the same thing as in pure state. And we can discuss this, but it's an interesting thing, but not the main point. So let me proceed. So in contrast, let's look at a Vonnegut entropy. Vonnegut entropy, as I mentioned, is fully classical. At least, okay, it has both classical and quantum part, but at least it gets classical correlations. And that, even after doing all kind of subtraction scheme, you can do ABC subtraction on that. In fact, it diverges as logarithmically at an approach to transition, which perhaps people knew from 1900 or so. That was a joke, but anyway, people knew from 1960s. So this, if you take a pure Gaussian theory, you get a log divergence of the entropy. So that tells you that this is not a good quantity to measure. Yes?
So kind of that, when you think about mix, it's something that mixes classical and quantum.
Right.
Actually, mutual information is
it's not.
Better thing than...
No, so the mutual information gets... If you look, again, you can ask, what is the mutual information at this transition? It decays power law. Exactly. So mutual information is a bad quantity again. It's not an entanglement measure. That is known. You can create separable states for which mutual information decays power law. So clearly, it is non-zero. So a good measure of entanglement should be zero for an entangled states. Mutual information is not that measure. So
yes, I understand that, but I guess my question is, like, you have this subleading term that goes to zero, right?
Right. Decay goes to zero exponentially fast.
Like, do we know what happens to the subleading term? I mean, you're comparing negativity with entanglement entropy.
Yes.
So what happens if you compare negativity with mutual?
As I said, this is a mutual information, what I wrote down here. The mutual information has a log divergence. That's what I'm trying to say. This is not Vonnegut entropy. This is a subleading term. So I've canceled out all that stuff. So you can, instead of doing tripartite, you can also do, there's another way to cancel out for straight cuts, which is maybe more easy to do scaling with. And you can calculate that and ask how does that scale as on approaching to the transition. This is again a subleading term in the negativity. And this is for different system sizes. And you can do a perfect data collapse. All of this data can be collapsed with this one curve. If you rescale your total system size by a thermal length scale beta. So that from that you see that this thing goes to zero exponentially fast with a length scale which is beta. And at zero temperature, you recover the subleading term, which is expected for a quantum critical point. So this gamma, which was calculated for zero temperature negativity, matches with our result. So you see that negativity subleading term, universal part, goes to zero at finite temperature. So this is the main picture. This is maybe the intuitive picture that you have a divergent correlation length in the system. Despite that, quantum correlations remain short-ranged, and there's an emergence of a new length scale. So the point is, every quantum system at finite temperature has this new length scale, which I will call quantum correlation length, which determines how fast the non-local entanglement decreases. And in this case, it was just beta, which makes sense. It's a relativistic theory. That's the length scale over which you expect quantum correlations. So that's the picture. You have this short Bell pairs or EPR pairs close to the boundary, even when this length is infinite. So another thing you can ask, is there some information in the eigenvectors of the partial transpose? Because these are all based on eigenvalues. Negativity was determined by eigenvalues. Eigenvectors also have a very interesting structure, again, which I don't think has been explored before. So take those eigenvalues which have negative eigenvalue. Those are the only ones which contribute to negativity. And they decay exponentially close to the boundary. So they are localized at the boundary. the eigenvectors which contribute to negativity. And you can do a scaling fit with different systems. This is a perfect exponential, actually. It's an antisymmetric function. This is the entangling boundary. This is here the boundary is. And it decays exponentially. And the positive eigenvalues just also very much resemble eigenvalues of the original full density matrix. So
do you have an interpretation what they mean? I mean, eigenvectors that contribute to negativity sounds.
Let me finish my sentence.
Okay, sorry.
So you can show that the negative eigenvectors which have negative eigenvalue are exactly the entanglement witness.
Yes.
The projector onto that. That's why it knows about entanglement. Okay. So this was all Gaussian theory. So what about more realistic theories? So this is actually not actual cow. This is a model of a cow. That's what I made sure. It's not actual cow. It's a model of a cow. So I won't do realistic systems as much as you would like, but I will do a model. So let's come back to this transfer serializing model. So for that, we can't calculate negativity directly. And that's where Kinger and company enters. So you can calculate, define a Rainy version of the negativity, which again cancels out all the volume law, keeps only the subleading term. And for that, we already studied all the exactly solvable models. The scaling is exactly same. All the stuff I mentioned before for the models we can do exactly have the same scaling for any negativity as that for the actual negativity. So at least that gives some sign that this is a useful quantity to look at. And this can be sampled in quantum Monte Carlo. It's a huge, huge project, but I have only two slides here to say because I have other things to talk about. So this was a lot of work, and they did that. And so let's look at it. But the first thing we look at is R3 is any negativity. And this is a critical point in the transfer serializing model. And the derivative of the Rainy negativity jumps across the transition. And this is again very, very similar to my Gaussian model. There is a singularity in the area law coefficient. And based on our scaling argument we know how the singularity should be for the area law coefficient based on just some scaling argument. And this perfectly matches with what I expected for 2D Ising model. I'm plotting the derivative, not the R3, but that was easy to pick up the singularity this way. So this clearly jumps the derivative because the critical exponent alpha is zero. What happened? So the I think my one slide is missing. It's an important one. It's not the most important maybe, but the idea is now to do an ABC subtraction on this. So you take four regions, do what is called Levin-Wendt subtraction. So calculate negativity for region A.
Could you stay on the right part of the board? Otherwise,
okay. But basically now you do similar to the Kitai-Preskill or Levin-Wendt scheme. So take different regions, calculate their negativity. All of them are singular. There are four things you calculate. All of them are singular. Then you take a particular linear combination of them to cancel out the area law part and only keep the subleading term. And this is what you find. It's basically zero. Look at this thing. This was a pretty sharp singularity. So canceling it out within Monte Carlo is pretty, non-trivial that it goes away. So this is exactly like what was in the Gaussian theory. There is no, as far as I can tell, there is no subleading term here. So this is the picture. Take any normal model. I will define what a normal means. Take like 5-4 theory, ON models, CPN models, anything which does not have finite temperature topological order, I would say. But we expect that the non-local part of the entanglement is basically zero at all temperatures. So this is a striking statement. Take anything that you have ever seen pretty much, do this whole procedure, calculate the partial transpose, get a then do ABC subtraction, that number will go to zero. That's interesting. So in some sense, quantumly, this is a gap state at finite temperature, if you want to use that word. So only at zero temperature in these models, it's non-zero at the critical point. So this raises the question, are there things out there where this doesn't happen? So that clearly motivates us to think about finite temperature topological order.
Sorry,
Can I ask a question? So do you even need a transition for this, or it's just a statement about exponent minus beta h having some property?
I didn't follow.
So do you need the transition for this statement? That, well, just take any
That's why there's, I mean, there's the whole cover.
Okay, right? Because you're saying take any Hamiltonian, you know, take the exponential minus beta h, whatever you define,
right,
that is perfect measure of entanglement for some reason is zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I will now give example where that doesn't happen. I'm saying that's why I mentioned normal models, normal things which you generally work with. But now let's come to exotic things. So the question is, are there things where it is not zero? So let's, this is not a good day. Sorry. It's happening. Does anyone know what's going on here?
Just check if the cable is loose. It's usually.
Does it only happen when you transition between slides?
Yeah. So let me show you the things which are so basically we want to study now Tory code in various dimensions. So let's start from the 2D Tory code. So the 2D Tory code is this. If you look at the subleading term in the Vonnegut entropy, it has this structure. There are two kind of plateaus. One happens at lambda A over log of square root L, there's lambda B over log of square root L. So both of them vanishes in thermodynamic limit, but in any finite size system, you see these two plateaus, which is also seen in numerics on a spin liquid. If you take some Z2 spin liquid, like this balanced Fischer-Gerwin model, you see this. But this is, as I said, this is not perhaps a good measure of entanglement because you're using Vonnegut entropy. So this is what people have generally done in the past. They take E minus beta h, calculate Vonnegut entropy, and look at a subleading term. And you find this structure. And my point is this, only the zero temperature part is quantum. So you should do something else to really figure out the topological and time entropy. So let's, for example, take the limit, take lambda A to 1 and take lambda B to infinity. If lambda A is 1, and take thermodynamic limit. So first send lambda B to infinity, bracket term, and then take dense and L to infinity. So then this thing goes to zero, and this thing goes to infinity. So then you get this. So I will take this limit because this brings out the very sharp distinction between classical and quantum entanglement. So this limit is interesting, that's why. And we can also calculate negativity analytically, a closed form expression.
Could you press play? Let's see if this works out.
Sorry?
Could you, just to see if this works.
So what about topological negativity? So we can calculate it analytically. There's a closed form expression, and I want to just scare you a little bit, so that's why I put it here. It's some hypergeometric function. You can do this calculation, and okay, this is not online yet. It will show up maybe 1 week or so. So you can get the full expression, and feature is this. It has a perfect scaling collapse with L e to minus beta, essentially, if you expand this in leading term, at a leading order in this quantity, it looks like this. So, but the main point is, if you take thermodynamic limit first, and then send, let's say, beta to infinity, then it is zero, because we are in some finite temperature state. But if you want to really get to the ground state, you have to first set beta to infinity, and then send L to infinity. So then you're here. So you get log 2 at zero temperature, but at any non-zero temperature. As long as you take thermodynamic limit, if temperature is not zero, you get zero. This you get here. So this is how it will look like in thermodynamic limit, the topological part of the entanglement. And this is the topological part of the Vonnegut entropy. So there's a big difference. So this is related to the fact that there's a decoherence in the system due to electrical, due to finite density of electrical charges. So it captures that correctly.
Can you check to make sure you're not clicking the monitor off button when you're trying to advance the slide?
Is there such a thing here?
Okay,
let's not use it then. So you can also do in the case where lambda A and lambda B are 1, you don't have to take the limit. Then we can use a transfer matrix scheme to calculate it, but the result basically same. So topological negativity is non-zero only at zero temperature. This is how it looks like. So there is a it basically depends on minimum of, this should be lambda A, lambda B. So minimum of lambda A, lambda B over square root L, that determines the where the plateau occurs. So in thermodynamic limit, this vanishes. There's only one plateau in the entanglement. As long as there is one kind of quasi particle which can be excited, negativity takes a dip because entanglement goes down because of charges moving around. So now let's look at 3D Tori code. As I earlier, 3D Tori code was introduced earlier, so I won't get into once more the introduction, but there are two kind of excitations, point-like excitation and line-like excitations, different energy, lambda A, lambda B, L. Let's first suppress the Plaquette excitation. So take lambda A to be order 1, and then take lambda B to infinity. Because lambda B is the Plaquette term, I'm sending it to 0, so I'm suppressing the Plaquette excitations. But I allow point-like charges. So your naive intuition should be that there is no topological order because they are point-like objects in the system which can move around and decohere. And that's what we find, and this is there's an argument by Bani Yoshida that topological order doesn't exist in this limit based on a completely different argument, not using any entanglement. And no, it was not that. So this is what you find. In this limit, you don't get any negativity, but in this, now consider the other limit. So in the first limit, negativity is exactly the same as that of the 2D Tori code, even the analytical expression, that hypergeometric function and so on, the subleading term. But now this is a more interesting limit, where you suppress the point-like charges. So now there are no point-like charges, but only loops in the system, like a pure gauge theory. Because I'm sending lambda A to infinity, and lambda B to order 1, and then we can't really calculate a full closed-form expression, but we can do a low-temperature expansion to any order we want. And our conclusion is that there's a subleading universal topological entanglement entropy in the system because decoherence doesn't occur. So this is example of finite temperature topological order in this limit. You have to take the limit because they're point-like charges. You want to not have them. And so the main result is this, that there's a subleading log 2 in the negativity even at non-zero temperature if you work with this limit first. So the most interesting is 4D Tori code. 4D, I mean 4 plus 1D, I mean 4 space dimensions, because it has no point-like excitations. So you don't have to take any limits to see something interesting. And in this case, it was argued long ago that it has a finite temperature quantum memory, that you can store a qubit at finite temperature without any decoherence. It's a topological qubit. But again, there was no order parameter like negativity or anything like that. It was based on statistical mechanics arguments. The advantage of negativity is that even if you perturb away from this limit, take some general model which doesn't have, which is not a stabilizer model, you can use that. It's like distinction between the definition of a topological phase in terms of depth of a circuit versus something like topological entanglement entropy, which is more maybe practical. So you can, 4D Tori code is maybe hard to imagine in your head, but it's some, if you are good at imagining hypercubes, you can do that. It's not that hard to imagine it, but you can define it. And what you find that it has non-zero negativity up till some TC, the non-zero topological negativity. And it has, again, low temperature expansion only modifies the area law coefficient. The subleading term doesn't change. And you recover 2 log 2 at zero temperature, which is what long ago was calculated using pure state for the ground state. So, but this is the main result. Hopefully this slide can open up. Hopefully, that's great. So this is summarizing all three dimensions, 2D, 3D, and 4D. The topological contribution to Vonnegut entropy has this double plateau structure where the two temperature is, one is minimum of TATB, other is maximum of TATB, where TATB are given like this. So in 2D Tori code, TATB are both zero in thermodynamic limit. But in 4D toy code, both are order one. So 4D is more interesting in that sense. In 4D toy code, there's this, at order one temperature, there's this two plateaus in the in your monomer entropy universal part, but the negativity has only one thing. As long as you can excite something in the system, you kill topological order. So I will call this minimum temperature as a quantum phase transition at finite temperature, because below that temperature you have subleading term in the entanglement at finite temperature. So that's why it's interesting, because generally we think of quantum phase transitions only at zero temperature, but this one is not there. It's not at zero temperature. So this is basically the, if you have any question on this slide, please ask. I'm happy to stay here. Yes?
So this quantum phase transition at finite temperature, what universality class?
We don't fully understand, but we understand how it's related to the fact that the loops, it's related to the fact that some loops become bigger and bigger, so we know scaling of those loops, but I don't have a more to say on that beyond just mapping it to some stat-mech problem. Yes?
I mean, the entropy in the Kitaev model would behave exactly like this.
No. So that entropy will have plateau, will not have L. This is, if you look at, for example, RG's work, it will be at lambda, it will be lambda A, lambda B, rather than lambda A over log L. There won't
that's
be any log L.
It will be only crossover and that's not phase transition.
Yeah. So the, that's why I didn't mention entropy here, because I wanted to, but then I thought it's slightly different scaling, sorry. Because that's a volume law part, it has different scaling. This is a constant universal part. So the main point is that using negativity, you can distinguish classical from quantum phase transition in a sharp way. Just saying that finite temperature transitions are classical and zero temperature quantum is incorrect, because they're counterexamples that I just showed. So you need better definition, and perhaps this is maybe one definition, and it could be maybe better definitions tomorrow, but at least it's a start in terms of thinking of quantum entanglement. And it also gives you how to define topological order at finite temperature. And I think that's about it. And these are the future directions. Let me mention one thing. One is, are there models where singularity only exists in quantum correlations, but not in classical correlations? For example, in 4D toric code, at the TC, both the subleading term in the Vonnegut entropy and negativity has a singularity. But are there transitions where, at finite temperature, where only quantum correlations are singular? Maybe you can give me one argument that can't happen. I'm happy to hear that. But it'll be very exotic that if that happens. Then other thing I will point out is that fractal models, okay, there's something interesting to do there, which we started a little bit. I can tell you in private. But the other thing is industrial applications of negativity, which is, if you have some model which you think is a good model for your small quantum computer in your lab. Often you think very mean field like to maximize a qubit lifetime and so on. You want entanglement in the system to survive, right? That's why you're trying to go to low temperatures and so on. But if you are interested in that, maybe you want to first characterize entanglement properly. And this gives you one measure of that. So if you have a bunch of parameters which are some experimental parameters, perhaps one good thing to do is to optimize your parameters to maximize negativity if you're building a quantum computer. Okay. I'm not building it, so I can say these things. But I think it's, to me, that sounds a reasonable thing to do. And of course, in field theory, it will be very nice to calculate these things. But so that's about it. I don't have anything else to say.
Well, that's it. Actually, we're glad no cows have been hurt in the process of the simulations.
Sorry?
No cows have been hurt. It's a disclaimer they put in Hollywood movies, right? They had a cow. Anyway.
Oh, cows. Good cows, sorry.
All right, so questions. Oh, comments.
Yes.
So for the radionegativities, are those in principle measurable in sort of quantum experiments in the same way as?
Yes. So people have already proposed how to do that, and I think there's a claim that it has been done maybe by Peter Zoller. They have this measurement-based thing. I think Frank probably knows. He's on that paper. Maybe you're also on that paper. but this idea that...
For the string order, I am. But
sorry?
Not for the negativity.
Right, but maybe one can...
But I think don't think it has been implemented in
It has not been... Okay, I don't know. But there are papers out there which... It's some kind of interesting stop operator, not a usual one. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. There's nothing in principle. Yes.
How can you suppress the point-like excitations for 3D color curve by setting some coupling. Microscopic bearing to...
There's no other way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no other way. Yeah, that's a way to do it. Okay. We send lambda A to infinity, the coefficient of the star term.
Yeah.
Think of it like a pure gauge theory when there are no charges. So that's...
Well, by boundary conditions?
It's a bulk effect, so you have to suppress it everywhere. Yeah. That's why 3D Tory code... without fine-tuning, doesn't have topological or non-zero temperature. But our idea was to do that to see that the negativity calculation is easy. It's a way to simulate 4D in 3D, almost. Only have loop-like excitation. So that was the check on the calculation. Yes?
Is
there a question?
Short comment, please. If you go back to your first slide, just one slide.
This one? Yes.
Exactly. So... Maybe something that I did right a few years ago.
Can you please speak?
Yeah, so it's based on, about to say it's based on what the work of the Gerard Ortiz.
Uh-huh.
So, and also what you mean is that what I said. So you can basically map, so the 2D Tory code can map two Eisen chains.
Right.
With corresponding coefficient lambda and lambda. And these values of T are based on temperature and free energy. So basically, if you have free energy condition, you ask what temperature of the
Eisen chain. Right. And right.
You have to mean walls. So basically,
Sure. I mean, yeah, there is a way to... In Shamon's paper, they also did that.
That was after. So actually, that goes exactly like that. So it'd be log L times T is of order lambda A.
Right, but there's just a one-line argument for this, because you're asking when does the density of quasi particles becomes order 1. So yeah. If you can excite quasi particle with probability E minus beta gap, overall probability is volume times e to minus beta delta. You set it to order 1, then you get this crossover.
Yeah, and actually for all of them, even for 4D.
Yeah.
Because that's an exact duality.
Sure.
You can actually, that exact duality maps.
Right. Yeah, I didn't cite many papers about the S topo because there are so many papers on the. But that's my point, that this is not the, it's not quantum. That's what I'm trying to say, that even, okay, you can do this, but it's, doesn't tell me whether it is a quantum entanglement or not, this red curve. Right. So the papers I was more familiar with Shamon's and Kastner and your, yeah. So, all right. Any other questions?
Yeah, if I just have loss of disorder and driver MBL for that Tory code, so in principle...
Which Tory code? What dimensions?
2D.
The thing is, I'm interested in thermal states, E minus beta H, which means coupling to like phonons. MBL doesn't exist in the presence of phonons, so it doesn't help. I'm not studying some closed isolated system. If it's an isolated system, I can do many more exciting things. I don't have to go to MBL route. But I'm just saying, if it's a thermal state, MBL doesn't exist. So I don't think it helps, but...
So if there is a duality to Ising models that Zoller pointed out, how, in the end, can you get anything purely quantum?
You can't map...
Classical?
Let me make sure, so that... it's a good question. So you can ask much more... It's not even duality or anything. You can say at finite temperature, E to minus beta H, I can map to some stat-mag problem, right? But you can do that even at zero temperature. Take the ground state system. You can think of it as a one higher dimensional system. What is quantum about it? Just because you can calculate partition function of a system by mapping to a classical stat-mag problem doesn't make the problem classical calculationally, but doesn't mean quantum mechanics doesn't exist. Right? Zero temperature, everything is quantum, but even that problem you can map it to some, if there is no sign problem, to some classical problem. That has, there are two different questions. Whether Are there interesting quantum mechanical effects like Bell inequality violations and so on? And the second question is calculationally, can you simplify your life sometimes by mapping it to some StatMech problem? These are two very different questions. I will make one more broader comment that partition function is not a good quantity to calculate for knowing about whether something is quantum or not to begin with, because just density of state should not be able to determine whether something is quantum or classical. What negativity is doing is something much more interesting. In some sense, it knows about even a little bit about eigenvectors, which is very unusual, because generally you think you don't have information about them in any Monte Carloable way, but here's a way to do that. So that's why partial transpose in general is such a good quantity to do, even for many other reasons than quantum entanglement, because it gives you some access to some very interesting information about eigenvectors, not just the density of states. So that's my point, yes.
So I'm just wondering, so this negativity, is it a definition of the finite temperature topological order, or it's a proxy for something that is independently defined? So why should we calculate this, basically?
It's not
measurable, right? It seems like.
Let's take the ground state. For example, I'm putting something at the same, trying to put at the same footing as topological entanglement entropy in the ground state.
So actually, I know it's an appropriate question, but I keep asking, I don't know why people calculate entanglement entropy.
Why
is it? It's not measurable.
It's useful as a calculational tool on a computer so far. Okay. So if I give you a Hamiltonian, okay, and I ask you a yes or no question, whether it has topological order or not, mm-hmm, what will you do? I mean, this is the simplest thing I know.
Okay, fine.
I don't know anything.
So here,
else.
Is this one-to-one correspondence to something which is actually defined?
Yeah,
independently?
Exactly.
Okay, fine.
So because there is another definition of topological order that you should not be able to connect the state to some product state by a finite depth circuit, but then you have to know all possible circuits. How would you? That's not a practical definition. It's very conceptually, it's very useful. So that's why. And anything which is which doesn't require any optimization is a better definition for practical purposes. Even here, there is a definition by Hastings for finite temperature topological order that if you can't connect your Gibbs state to some separable state by a finite depth quantum channel, then it must have topological order, which makes sense, but then how do you use that definition? That's a separate question. It's a very useful definition. But
maybe related to this, like when people say that, you know, this 4D Torr code has finite temperature quantum memory, do they also say that it stops exactly at that red point?
Yeah. So if you
another answer to
say,
that.
Yeah. Quantum memory is a bit subtle thing. I do think there's a relation, I mean, there's one-to-one relation, that's my guess, between topological order and quantum memory, but the way quantum memory is defined is in terms of some additional protocol of coupling to heat bath and asking whether information leaks or not. In all the examples we know, there's a one-to-one, I mean, there seems to be same thing, subleading term in entanglement, but I don't know a proof of that. So it's possible there's a distinction between finite temperature topological order and self-correcting quantum memory. I'm not an expert in memories, but I myself have a bad memory most of the time. That's what I, all right. Any other question?
All right. Well, if there are no further questions, let's thank you.